The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers, but before all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. For charity covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapters 15 and 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues, yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. They will put you out of the synagogues, yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, it was 6 weeks ago today on Easter Sunday that so-called radical Muslim terrorists staged multiple attacks on the island nation of Sri Lanka. A few weeks later, a news article titled "Fear Haunts Catholics After Deadly Easter Blast" was printed in the National Catholic Register newspaper. The article opens with these words: "The Indian Ocean island of Sri Lanka has been left stunned by the catastrophic blasts that rocked three churches, including two Catholic churches in the Colombo area, along with three luxury hotels. The attacks left more than 250 dead and more than 500 injured." The article goes on to report that most of the Easter Sunday casualties were at St. Sebastian's Church in Negombo and St. Anthony's Church in Colombo. Nearly 200 Catholics who were at Easter morning Mass perished in the blasts, which were carried out by suicide bombers belonging to a local Islamist group. Now, as shocking and horrifying as this was and is, still, my dear people, it is nonetheless not something uncommon today. In other words, the attacks and the persecution of people who have the name Catholic or Christian is quite common. We don't hear about it too often from our mainstream media. We hear about the big events such as this. But Newsweek magazine, which I was very surprised, nonetheless, among other major media networks, reported this past May 3rd that the persecution of Christians is approaching genocide levels, and that the Christian faith will soon disappear in some areas of the world. even in locations where its presence dates back to most ancient times. Christianity faces the possibility of being wiped out in parts of the Middle East. Now, this article in Newsweek concluded with the latest poll taken from the Pew Research Center, which reported that since the year 2016, Christianity is currently openly persecuted in 144 countries. And thus, Newsweek magazine reported it is the most persecuted religious group in the world. And those countries in which it is violently persecuted are all predominantly Muslim. To name a few, Nigeria, where Muslim militants regularly raid Catholic villages, where they pillage, plunder, murder, and in their barbarity, they abduct Catholic women. Then there is Iran, Iraq, Sudan, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, the big ally of the United States, and Syria. But please note, in regard to Syria, Christianity was not being persecuted by the government of Syria. Rather, as the BBC News once reported, it was and is being persecuted by the Muslim rebels who have waged a violent and bloody civil war in that country. How, my dear friends, we ought to pray for these poor, suffering people who are persecuted, who are tortured, abducted, and even put to death. In our charity, how we ought to pray and make sacrifices that the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His infinite love and mercy will grant to them many graces that in the midst of their pains and crushing sorrows, they will love God with all their heart. They will have perfect contrition for their sins. They will persevere to the end and thus save their souls for eternity. May Mary, the mother of sorrows and the help of Christians, intercede for her poor, suffering children. But today's gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John. And if you are familiar with the Gospel of St. John, then you will know that chapters 13 through 17 record things that our Lord did and said in the upper room on the first Holy Thursday night, and thus on the very night before He suffered and died for our sins. And among the many things that He said to the apostles at the Last Supper were that the apostles would suffer persecution and even death. And they would suffer this persecution and death on account of Christ. And by that I mean because they believe in Christ, because they love Christ, because they follow our Lord Jesus Christ, they will be persecuted. They will put you out of the synagogues, our divine Savior said. Yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, our Lord said, because they have not known the Father nor me. You know, these prophetic words of Christ were fulfilled soon after the coming of the Holy Ghost on that first Pentecost Sunday. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that soon after St. Peter preached the first sermon, the apostles were all arrested in Jerusalem. They were arrested by order of the high priest. And they were scourged, and then they were commanded never again to preach Christ. But St. Peter, the first vicar of Christ on earth and the head of the apostles, rebuked the high priest of Israel and all the leaders, even as he told them, "It is better to obey God than men, and that there is no other name given under heaven by which all men can be saved than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It was in December of that same year, 34 AD, when the first official persecution was raised against the church by the Jews in Jerusalem. It was then that Saint Stephen, the first martyr, was put to death by them. And many other Christians were arrested and imprisoned as well. But while these words, my dear friends, of our Lord were literally meant for the apostles and the first disciples, still they were addressed to all who would believe in Christ, who would follow Christ until the end of time. And thus, since the time of the apostles and down through the centuries, even unto today, there have been persecutions of some kind waged against the church, against Catholics, against anyone who bears the name Christian. As I mentioned, the more violent persecutions today are in predominantly Muslim nations, where people are tortured, they are abducted, and many are killed. Other places, such as North Korea and China, which the media does not usually report, people have their property confiscated and are often imprisoned. Now, we certainly do not have such persecution such as that in the United States, at least perhaps for now. But, my dear friends, there is nonetheless a kind of persecution in this country. It is, so to speak, a moral persecution. And by that I mean that if someone believes in an objective standard of morality given to us by God, so that if someone believes, for example, that divorce and remarriage are adultery, or the use of artificial contraception is a mortal sin, or impurity, and even worse, unnatural vice, are gravely offensive to God, who condemns to hell forever those who willfully commit such sins and do not repent. Or if one believes that abortion is not about a woman's rights over her body, but rather it is the murder, the cold-blooded murder of an innocent human being. For someone who believes such things, that these things are moral evils and cannot be done, that person could be subject to ridicule or even hatred in the classroom or in the workplace. That person could lose their position. That person could even have a lawsuit raised against them. That person, when all is said and done, could suffer persecution in some way. Although in regard to abortion, I must tell you what I'm sure you are already aware of, that there seems to be in the last few years somewhat of a turnaround. So that among other things, there are some states in this country that have passed laws either banning abortion completely or greatly limiting it. Even as the President of the United States publicly declared in the State of the Union address that every person, including the unborn, is made in the image and likeness of God. It is refreshing after many years to be able to say something positive from the pulpit that is happening in our nation. Please God it continues, and that God will bless our great country with many graces, especially the graces of conversion to the one true Catholic faith. But despite this, my dear people, there is still a moral persecution that is going on in this nation. Even as the sin and the vice of impurity is like a deadly chemical weapon that has been released upon our country by the devil and his disciples in this world. Workplaces, public institutions, schools, colleges, universities, even the private homes of people are being poisoned to a greater or lesser degree by it. This is being done by impure and suggestive movies and television, music, books and magazines, or by the telling of impure jokes and stories by depraved people. And then, of course, there is the internet. The internet that, although it has done much good to spread the faith and to bring people back to the one true faith, nonetheless, it must be said, as Bishop Kelly himself once said many years ago, it is by far the most effective means of spreading impurity. Last week, I saw a report that was printed by the journal Psychology Today. And the report stated that the leading impure website on the internet averaged 81 million visits per day. 81 million visits, not per year, not half a year, not per month, 81 million visits per day, and that's just one of many. It's actually so bad that even certain psychologists and social workers have labeled internet impurity an epidemic in this country. In the midst of this moral persecution, my dear friends, may we who have been so blessed with the one true faith be faithful to Christ and the Church. Ever mindful that our Lord has already defeated all his enemies to the very end of time by his passion, his death, his resurrection, and glorious ascension. And it is for us now, of course, to have confidence in him and Our Lady, and to do our part. And our part is as well to persevere in our faith and in living our lives in the state of grace. May our good Savior then grant us the grace to be firm and uncompromising in our Catholic faith and morals. No matter what trials, no matter what ridicule, no matter what sufferings we may be made to endure, even as we ever strive to live pure and chaste lives, doing everything we can to protect our purity and the purity of our children. And may all of us here, in the face of the many trials and difficulties, in the face of the many temptations we must face in our daily life, may we all place our trust and confidence in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Mindful of the words of St. Paul the Apostle, "If God be for us, who is against us?" God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.